are listening to Expanding Horizons, the podcast of the Unitarian Church of South Australia, a home of progressive spirituality and free religious thought and action since 1854. Views expressed in these podcasts are those of the speaker and are not intended to represent the position of the church itself or of the worldwide Unitarian Universalist movement. For more information, visit unitariansa.org.au.
Asked Pooh, climbing onto the writing table. "The Tao of Pooh," I replied. "The how of Pooh?" asked Pooh, smudging one of the words I had just written. "The Tao of Pooh," I replied, poking his paw away with my pencil. "It seems more like the owl of Pooh," said Pooh, rubbing his paw. "Well, it's not," I replied huffily. "What's it about?" asked Pooh, leaning forward and smearing another word. "It's about how to stay happy and calm under all circumstances," I yelled. "Have you read it?" asked Pooh. That was after some of us were discussing the great masters of wisdom, and someone was saying how all of them came from the East. And I was saying how all of them came from the East, and I was saying that some of them didn't. But he was going on and on, just like this sentence, not paying any attention, when I decided to read a question of wisdom from the West, to prove there was more to the world than one half. And I read, "When you wake up in the morning, Pooh," said Piglet at last, "what's the first thing you say to yourself?"
"What's for breakfast?" said Pooh. "What do you say, Piglet?"
"I say, I wonder what's going to happen exciting today," said Piglet. Pooh nodded thoughtfully.
"It's the same thing," he said.
"What's that?" the unbeliever asked. "Wisdom from a Western Taoist," I said.
"It sounds like something from Winnie the Pooh," he said.
"It is," I said.
"No, it's not," he said.
"What do you think about it?" I said. "It's about this dumpy little bear that wanders around asking silly questions, making up songs and adventures without ever accumulating any amount of intellectual knowledge or losing his simple-minded sort of happiness. That's what it's about," he said. "Bing," I said. That was when I began to get an idea. To write that explained the principles of Taoism through Winnie the Pooh, and explained Winnie the Pooh through the principles of Taoism.
And that's what we're going to do. We're going to have a look at one of the chapters, and it's called The Tao of Who. We were just discussing the definition of wisdom late one night, and we were just about to fall asleep from it all, when Pooh remarked that his understanding of Taoist principles had been passed down to him from certain ancient ancestors. "Like who?" I said. "Oh, like the famous Pu Cao Tse, the famous Chinese painter," Pooh said. "That's Wu Cao Tse. Well, how about Li Pu, the famous Taoist poet?" Pooh asked cautiously. "You mean Li Po," I said. "Oh," said Pooh, looking down at his feet. Then I thought of something. "That doesn't really matter anyway," I said, "because one of the most important principles of Taoism was named after you." "Really?" Pooh asked, looking more hopeful. "Of course, Pu, the uncarved block." "Oh, I'd forgotten," said Pooh. So here we are about to try to explain Pu, the uncarved block. And in the classic Taoist manner, we won't try too hard or explain too much because that would only confuse things. And because it would leave the impression that it was all only an intellectual idea that could be left on an intellectual level and forgotten. Then you could say, well, this idea is all very nice, but what does it amount to? So instead, we'll try and show you what it amounts to in various ways. Poo, by the way, is pronounced sort of like poo, but without as much oo, like the sound you make when you're blowing a fly off your forearm on a hot summer day. Before we bring our resident expert in for a few illuminating remarks, let's explain something. The essence of the principle of the uncarved block is that things in their original simplicity contain their own natural power. Power that's easily spoiled and lost when that simplicity is changed. For the written character pool, the typical Chinese dictionary will give you the definition of natural, simple, plain, and honest. And pool is composed of two separate characters combined. The radical is that for the tree or wood, and the phonetic one is the character for dense growth or thicket. So from tree in a thicket, or wood not cut, comes the meaning of things in the natural state. And that's generally represented in English versions of Taoist writing as the uncarved block. Bit of a jump, isn't it? This basic Taoist principle applies not only to things in their natural beauty and function, but to people as well, or bears, which brings us back to Pu, the very epitome of the uncarved block. As an illustration of the principle, he may appear to be a little too simple at times. "I think it's more to the right," said Piglet nervously. "What do you think, Pooh?" Pooh looked at his two paws. He knew that one of them was the right, and that he knew that when you had decided which one of them was the right, then the other one was the left. But he could never remember where to begin. "Well," he said slowly, "but no matter how he may seem to others, especially to those fooled by appearances, Pooh, the uncarved block, is able to accomplish what he does because he is simple-minded. As any old Taoist walking out in the woods can tell you, simple-minded does not necessarily mean stupid. It's rather significant that the Taoist ideal of the still, calm, reflecting mirror mind of the uncarved block, and it's rather significant that Pooh, rather than the thinkers, that's Rabbit, Owl, or Eeyore, is the true hero of Winnie the Pooh and the house at Pooh Corner. Got another little excerpt. "The fact is," said Rabbit, "we've missed our way somehow." They were having a rest in a small sand pit on the top of the forest, and Pooh was getting rather sick of this sand pit and suspected it of following them about, because whichever direction they started in, they always ended up at it, and each time as it came through the mist at them, Rabbit would say triumphantly, "Now I know where we are." And Pooh would say sadly, "So do I." And Piglet said nothing. He tried to think of something to say, but the only thing he could think of was, "Help! Help!" And it seemed silly to say that when he had Pooh and Rabbit with him. "Well," said Rabbit after a long silence in which nobody thanked him for the nice walk they were having, "we'd better get on, I suppose. Which way should we try?" "How would it be," said Pooh slowly, "if as soon as we're out of sight of this pit, we try to find it again?" "What's the good of that?" said Rabbit. "Well," said Pooh, "if we keep looking for home and not finding it, so I thought if we looked for the pit, we'd be sure not to find it, which would be a good thing, because then we might find something that we weren't looking for, which might be just what we were looking for really." "Don't see much sense in that," said Rabbit. "If I walked away from this pit, then walked back to it, then of course I should find it." "Well, I thought perhaps you wouldn't," said Pooh. "I just thought." "Try," said Piglet suddenly. "We'll wait here for you." Rabbit gave a laugh to show how silly Piglet was, and he walked into the mist. And after he'd gone 100 yards, he turned and walked back again. And after Pooh and Piglet had waited 20 minutes for him, Pooh got up. "I just thought. Now then, Piglet, let's go home." "But Pooh," cried Piglet, all excited, "do you know the way?" "No," said Pooh, "but there are 12 pots of honey in my cupboard, and they've been calling me for hours. I couldn't hear them properly before because Rabbit would talk. But if nobody says anything except those 12 pots, I think, Piglet, I shall know where they're calling from. Come on." They walked off together, and for a long time Piglet said nothing so as not to interrupt the pots. And then suddenly he made a squeaky noise and an ooh noise, because now he began to know where he was, but he still didn't dare to say so out loud, in case he wasn't. But just as he was getting so sure of himself that it didn't matter whether the pots went on calling or not, there was a shout in front of them, and out of the mist came Christopher Robin. After all, if it were cleverness that counted, Rabbit would be number one instead of Bear. But it's not the way things work. "We've come to wish you a very happy Thursday," said Pooh, when he'd gone in and out once or twice, just to make sure he could get out again. "Why, what's going to happen on Thursday?" asked Rabbit. And when Pooh had explained, and Rabbit, whose life was made up of important things, said, "Oh, I thought you'd really come about something." They sat down for a little, and by and by Pooh and Piglet went on again, and the wind was behind them now, so they didn't have to shout. "Rabbit's clever," said Pooh thoughtfully. "Yes," said Piglet, "Rabbit's clever, and he has brain." "Yes," said Piglet, "Rabbit has brain." There was a long silence. "I suppose," said Pooh, "that's why he never understands anything." And if clever Rabbit doesn't have what it takes, abrasive Eeyore certainly doesn't either. Why not? Well, it's the Eeyore attitude. You might say that while Rabbit's little routine is that of knowledge for the sake of being clever, and Owl's is the knowledge for the sake of appearing wise, Owl's is the knowledge for the sake of complaining about something. As anyone who doesn't have it can see, the Eeyore attitude gets in the way of things like wisdom and happiness, and pretty much prevents any sort of real accomplishment in life. Eeyore, the old grey donkey, stood by the side of the stream and looked at himself in the water. "Pathetic," he said. "That's what it is, pathetic." He turned and walked slowly down the stream for 20 yards, splashed across it, and walked slowly back on the other side. Then he looked at himself in the water again. "As I thought," he said. "No better from this side." "Nobody minds, nobody cares. Pathetic, that's what it is." There was a crackling noise in the bracken behind him, and out came Pooh. "Good morning, Eeyore," said Pooh. "Good morning, Pooh Bear," said Eeyore gloomily, "if it is a good morning, which I doubt." "Why, what's the matter?" "Nothing, Pooh Bear, nothing. We can't all, and some of us don't. That's all there is to it." It's not that the Eeyore attitude is necessarily without a certain severe sort of humour. "Hello, Eeyore," they called out cheerfully. "Ah," said Eeyore, "lost your way?" "We just came to see you," said Piglet, "and to see how your house was. Look, Pooh, it's still standing." "I know," said Eeyore, "very odd. Someone should have come and pushed it over." "We wondered whether the wind would blow it down," said Pooh. "Ah, that's why nobody's bothered, I suppose. I thought perhaps they'd forgotten." It's just that it's not really awfully much fun. Not like a few other points of view we can think of. It's a little too complex or something. After all, what is it about Pooh that makes him so lovable? "Well, to begin with," said Pooh. "Yes, well, to begin with, we have the principle of the uncarved block. After all, what is the most appealing thing about Pooh? What else but..." "Well, to begin with, simplicity. The simplicity of the uncarved block. And the nicest thing about that simplicity is its useful wisdom. The what is there to eat variety of wisdom you can get at." Considering that, let's have Pooh describe the nature of the uncarved block. "All right, Pooh, what can you tell us about the uncarved block?" "The what?" said Pooh, sitting up suddenly and opening his eyes. "The uncarved block, you know. The, what do you have to say about it?" "I didn't do it," said Pooh. It must have been Piglet," he said. "I did not," squeaked Piglet. "Oh, Piglet, where did you..." "I didn't," said Piglet. "Well, then it was probably Rabbit," said Pooh. "It wasn't me," Piglet insisted. "Did someone call?" said Rabbit, popping up from behind the chair. Oh, Rabbit, I said, we're talking about the uncarved block. Haven't seen it, said Rabbit, but I'll go and ask Owl. That won't be necessary, I began. Too late now, said Pooh, he's gone. I never even heard of the uncarved block, said Piglet. Neither did I, said Pooh, rubbing his ear. Well, it's just a figure of speech, I said. A what of a who? Asked Pooh. A figure of speech. It means that, well, like, the uncarved block is a way of saying, like Pooh. Oh, is that all? Said Piglet. I wondered, said Pooh. Pooh can't describe the uncarved block to us in words. He just is it. That's the nature of the uncarved block. A perfect description, thank you, Pooh. Not at all, said Pooh. When you discard arrogance, complexity, and a few other things that get in the way, sooner or later you'll discover that the simple, childlike, and mysterious secret known to those of the uncarved block, life is fun. Now, one autumn morning, when the wind had blown all the leaves off the trees in the night and was trying to blow the branches off too, Pooh and Piglet were sitting in their thoughtful spot and wondering. What I think, said Pooh, is I think we'll go to Pooh Corner and see Eeyore, because perhaps his house has blown down and perhaps he'd like us to build it again. What I think, said Piglet, is I think we'll go and see Christopher Robin, only he won't be there, so we can't. Oh, let's go and see everybody, said Pooh, because when you've been walking in the wind for miles and you suddenly go into somebody's house and he says, hello, Pooh, you're just in time for a little smackerel of something, and you are, then it's what I call a friendly day. Piglet thought they ought to have a reason for going to see everybody, like looking for small or organising an expedition. If Pooh could think of something, Pooh could. We'll go because it's Thursday, he said, and we'll go to wish everybody a very happy Thursday. Come on, Piglet. From the state of the uncarved block comes the ability to enjoy the simple and the quiet, the natural and the plain. Along with that comes the ability to do things spontaneously and have them work, odd as that may appear to others at times. As Piglet put it in Winnie the Pooh, Pooh hasn't much brain, but he never comes to any harm. He does silly things, and they turn out right. To understand all this a little better, it might help to look at someone who's quite the opposite. Someone like, well, say, Owl, for example. And the next chapter, of course, is about Owl, who has to always appear wise. And I thought, just before we finish the address, you might like to turn to each other and talk about any Owl moments that you may have had, or any Eeyore moments that you may have experienced, or indeed any Rabbit. Yes, I can definitely remember a few Rabbit ones. So do turn to each other and share your Pooh reminiscences or comparisons.
Well, we hope you enjoyed this Expanding Horizons podcast. These podcasts are the intellectual property of the presenter. They can be used only with the express permission and appropriate acknowledgement of the presenter and the podcast used in its entirety. This permission can be obtained by emailing unitarianSA@bigpond.com. Please feel free to leave a comment or visit us on Facebook or Twitter by searching SA Unitarians.